Hey, what's up, folks? This is Tony Brewer. You're listening to or watching, as the case may be, Cogitations. Cogitations is the podcast where we think about things, we contemplate them, we turn them over in our minds, and then we discuss them. Daniel chapter 7, verse 28, Daniel writes, "Hitherto is the end of the matter. As for me, Daniel, my cogitations much troubled me. My countenance changed in me, but I kept the matter in my heart." Now, we're not going to keep the matter in our heart. We're going to talk about it. Today, we're going to talk about how to walk by faith. Lots and lots of content, lots and lots of late night conversations have been had about this topic. And this article that I wrote and this podcast that we're having is inspired by Jordan Peterson, something he said. Jordan Peterson's a very interesting, bear with me just a second, I got to copy this link. Jordan Peterson's a very interesting figure on contemporary philosophy. I heard him talk about truth, and this was back before he was actually a professed believer in God. This was during a time in which he would not admit to believing in God. He would always kind of dodge the question, and he would say, "I don't like the question because it pigeonholes the one being asked, and depending upon the answer, you'll interpret my answers through however you perceive someone that has the answer that has been given." I thought that was pretty interesting. Jordan Peterson has always said this, though, as far as I've known him, as far as I've been listening to him, is he said, "I would rather not profess a belief in God, but rather I would rather live as if God is real." And little did he know, or maybe not little did he know, maybe he knew quite well, that that was a sentiment that is biblical, that is in 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, John writes, "Little children, these things write unto you that you sin not. But if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous, who is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. And hereby do we know that we know him, if we keep his commandments." Folks, there are a lot of people that profess a belief in God, but live as if he is fictitious. And there are a lot of people who do not believe in God, yet live as if he is not fictitious. So that "do you believe in God" might not be as good a question as you might think it is. I want to know, do you live by an objective moral standard? Do you make sure that you live a life of morality, a life of character, integrity? I couldn't think of those words for a moment. Good to see you, Mike Osnes. Good morning to you. And incidentally, for those of you that are watching, I did put in the comments section the link to the article that I wrote that accompanies this podcast. I don't know. I want to be consistent. I don't know how much of this I have in me. I'm on a really creative streak right now. So it may be that I keep this up for a few weeks where I write an article along with each podcast that I do. So anyway, that's right. Faith in action. And again, for this just says faith, Facebook user. So I don't know who you are, but yeah, faith in action. And I would put forth, and I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm fleshing this out, bouncing off of you. Faith is the action you take based on what you believe. So faith by its very nature is action. And I think that's gets us into the question, how do you walk by faith? Well, you walk as if God is real, whether you believe it or not in the moment, whether you believe it or not overarchingly, and you speak the truth and you walk according to the truth. You have to have a level of discernment when it comes to reality. You cannot be delusional and also walk by faith. You cannot be naive and also walk by faith, because God is neither of those. Yeah, technically biblical faith by definition. Yeah, faith. Well, that's the thing. So faith, again, I'll tell you where I come up with that definition. I actually didn't come up with the definition. A bunch of kids did at a youth camp one summer in a discussion class. And I always ask the question when I'm teaching children or when I'm teaching adults as well, and the subject of faith comes up. Like, how do you define faith? Johnny on the spot, somebody always. Well, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Oh, Ben Grady, good deal. So my response to them that are Johnny on the spot with that definition is, so what? Tell me what that means. Well, then you get crickets. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's a way to conceptualize this is that faith is the usage of the term in Hebrews 11. Faith is a physical manifestation in this plane of existence of something that is not existential in this realm of existence, but has its existence rooted in the spiritual realm. For instance, salvation. Salvation is an abstract concept that is rooted in the spiritual realm. The new birth is an abstract concept rooted in the spiritual realm. How then do we conceptualize that? Well, faith. It's your action you take based on what you believe. It's a physical manifestation on this realm of existence. Do you believe that Jesus died, he was buried, he rose the third day, he ascended up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of the majesty of God to be the king sitting on the throne of David and to be head over all things under the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all? You do? Well, you haven't done anything. So you don't really believe it. Well, no, I believe it, but you haven't taken action on it. Therefore, you have no faith. When you take action on it, that belief, which is rooted in the spiritual world, manifests physically through action, and that is faith. And that was so powerful to me. Whenever I was talking to these kids, and we had almost an hour's long discussion about faith, and one of them said, well, Brother Tony, it seems like after all this stuff we've talked about, that the way to define faith is just the action you take based on what you believe. And I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's it. Just joining, I'm going to have to go back and listen to all of this from the beginning. I have been preaching on the fruit of the Spirit on Sunday mornings. And this Sunday is the fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Yeah, well, that's the beautiful thing. The more you study the Bible, the more you know, the more, again, this is the Holy Spirit, not miraculously, but through the Word of God, is going to convict you. And if you don't take action based on the things that you're learning, you're going to have a type of dissonance that is uncomfortable. That's called conviction. It is conceptualized as kicking against the pricks. Paul on the road to Damascus, or I suppose I should say Saul. Jesus said, Saul, why dost thou persecute? Why persecutest thou me? And he said, how long are you going to kick against the pricks? I think Jesus meant, how long are you going to kick against the pricks of your own conscience? You have all of this knowledge, and you've witnessed all of these people that you've persecuted, and you've witnessed their unwavering faith, even in the face of death. You have to know that this is more than just a passing fancy. You have to know that this is more than just a jumped up sect of Judaism. How long are you going to keep kicking against the pricks? So Paul was having a dissonance between his knowledge and his actions. The more you study the Bible, studying the Bible, how'd you put it? The fruit of the Spirit is faithfulness. Well, whenever you allow God to communicate to you, which the way he does that is the Holy Spirit in the long ago born along the words of God, and they were recorded. So you're reading the Bibles, that's the Holy Spirit translating God's mind to your mind, all right? And it's not miraculous. It's through the power of the word. But the more you learn and the more you study God's word, the more you, and which is the Spirit working through you, the more action you're going to take. You're not going to be able to not take action based on those things that you learn. If you do not take action based on those things that you learn, you are grieving the Spirit, you're resisting the Spirit, and you are not living a life of faithfulness. You have a dissonance between what you learn and what you do. You're not being faithful. It's beautiful how that works. Beautiful how that works. Oh, Robert Leedy. And yeah, I'm assuming, Robert, I'm assuming that is your comment. All right. Yeah, the examples through, that's the thing. Yeah, look, the examples in Hebrews 11, there is not one person in Faith Hall of Fame that you cannot apply the formula, action you take based on what you believe. Even Joseph made, he's in the Faith Hall of Fame for simply making funeral arrangements. He made arrangements for his body. He said, look, God's going to deliver us. When he delivers us out of the hand of the Egyptians, take my body and bury it in our land. Why doesn't God give us a midterm exam and warn people that are literally going to hell? He does. Maybe a vision to the white throne. If God truly wanted to save us from torment, then why is he so hidden? Well, he is absolutely not so hidden. He is not. Psalm 19, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament show forth his handiwork. Day into day, they preach knowledge. Now, you can know that God exists by looking at creation. Romans chapter 1 says the people were without excuse. But it's the law of the Lord. Read Psalm 19, verse 6 or 7. I can't remember exactly. But it's the law of the Lord that makes wise the simple. What you're asking for, God has already done through his word. That's why we have to give diligence to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. What you're asking for is reasonable. You are not being unreasonable asking for a sign. You are not being unreasonable asking for a warning. What you don't understand is God's already given it. Faith is not blind. Faith is evidentiary. The action you take based on what you believe. Well, why do you believe what you believe? It's got to be based on evidence. If it's not based on evidence, it's not real faith. But anyway. Yeah, why doesn't God give us a midterm exam? He has. Brother Dick Stagno, I think that's how you spell his last name, defines faith in his book as graceful reason. Defines faith in his book, Graceful Reason, as, Okay, right here. The volitional commitment of an informed intellect. Yeah, that's about a $10 way of saying action you take based on what you believe. Yeah, and Mike Austin has answered, well, Xavier, we have that by which we will be judged in the last day. Yeah, this is like, it literally, life is a test. And I know this is very, very on the nose. Life is a test, but it's open book. And the teacher, the one that's going to be grading you on the test, he's not trying to get you. Now, I will tell you this, when I was going through school at Memphis, we had a teacher that was renowned for giving open book tests that would absolutely beat you to death. You're thinking, well, it's just an open book test. How can I go wrong? Yeah, okay. But that's not God. God literally says, look, Here's the perfect standard of how I want you to live, and your job is to absolutely strive towards that standard. But if you don't, you need to confess when you fall short. You need to take note of when you fall short, and you need to strive to be better, and you will constantly be covered by my grace. So whenever you do stand before me on the day of judgment, you are going to stand as a person who has never committed a sin. You're going to stand as a person who has never fallen short. Yeah, God is not hidden. We can look around anywhere and see evidence of God. Romans 1:20, Acts 14:7, Psalm 19:1. Facebook user, I'm sorry, I don't know if you're Ben or Robert. Help me out here. What do you mean by could apply the talents? All right. Now, let me get into this article. Before we get into the article, for those of you that are here, you've been here like 20 minutes. You know, often we go through hard times. And oftentimes, as we work through these varied situations of life that can be rather hard, we need a listening ear and some support and maybe some extra help. Well, this is why LaBeth started Be a Mindful Soul. At BeAMindfulSoul.com, LaBeth's mission is to offer anything from a listening ear and the advice of an older sister to help finding a professional in your area if needed. Be sure to go to www.BeAMindfulSoul.com and check out all the services that she has to offer. She can help answer your questions about therapy treatment and or other mental health services that you may need. She also provides affordable assistance and support with resolving relationship conflicts, gaining and implementing more effective parenting skills, and can help coach you through the steps you need to take in regards to finding the peace and stability that you deserve. Folks, go check out everything LaBeth has to offer at www.BeAMindfulSoul.com. She has subscriptions. She started a Substack, and you can also take advantage of a free consult. Now let's talk about this article from my Substack, Walking in Faith, Embracing Truth as God's Guiding Light. How do we walk by faith? Well, in a world often shrouded by deception and half-truths, embracing the path of unwavering honesty might seem like a daunting task. However, as followers of Christ, we are called to live a life firmly rooted in truth and faith, trusting in the grand design of our Creator. And you know, I just realized I used this word half-truths. I'm using it accommodatively. In Aristotelian logic, there's really no such thing as a half-truth. Either something is all truth or it's not truth. It's either truth or not truth. It's not half-truth or whatever. Anyway, by consistently relying on and speaking the truth, we not only demonstrate our faith in God, but also align ourselves with His divine will, setting the stage for the best possible outcomes in our lives. Let's explore this concept further, delving into the Bible to illustrate the significance of truth in our journey to faith. Now, truth is important. In order to walk by faith, you have to be not naive. You also can't be overly cynical, and you have to be a lover of truth, a seeker of truth, and an understander of truth. All right? All truth is God's truth. If we always speak the truth and act in a way commensurate with reality, i.e. truth, then whatever outcome arises from our actions or speech is the absolute best possible outcome that could arise, and that outcome is in alignment with God's will, because God speaks truth. God's word is truth. God is truth. Okay? Proverbs 12:22 states, "Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but they that deal truly are His delight." From the very core of Scripture, we're reminded of the significance of honesty and its impact on our relationship with God. Speaking the truth is not just a matter of ethical behavior. It is an act of worship in a way that reflects our devotion to our Heavenly Father. When we choose to speak the truth, we align ourselves with the character of God, who is the embodiment of truth, Titus chapter 1, verse 2. As we navigate the complexities of life, prioritizing honesty over deception allows us to bear witness to God's presence and His desire for authenticity in our actions and speech. So let's talk about trusting in God's divine plan. Sorry, I was checking the comment section there. So Jeremiah 29:11 offers the children of Israel some reassurance with these words, and they work well for us today. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Well, by consistently speaking and living in truth, we let go of our grip on our desire for control over outcomes and place our trust in God's perfect plan. I will add that Jeremiah 29:11 applies to the children of Israel, and it shows that He had an end goal for them if they would just let go of their own ego and desires and let Him be in control. Well, the idea of letting go is reminiscent of Jesus' teaching in Matthew chapter 6, 25 through 34, where He encourages us to cast aside our worries. You know, He talks about Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed as one of the lilies of the field. And are you not much more precious than a sparrow? Well, we're taught by Jesus to put away and cast aside our worries and have faith in God's provision. Through embracing the truth and surrendering our attachment to specific outcomes, we demonstrate our faith in God's ability to shape the best possible reality for us. And understand, the best possible reality for us is not necessarily the easiest possible reality for us. It could be that we die for our convictions. It could be that we die for the truth, but that's the best possible reality that we could have hoped for, and that's in alignment with God's will if we are walking by faith. Hebrews 11, verse 1, this is the adventure of faith. I feel like I kind of waxed eloquent with this one a little bit. Anyway, Hebrews 11, I'm being sarcastic, by the way. Hebrews 11, verse 1, defines faith as the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Well, the journey of faith is undeniably an adventure, one that requires stepping out into the unknown, into an uncertain world with trust in God and conviction that He is, and that He rewards those who seek Him, Hebrews 11, 6. By speaking the truth, even when faced with uncertainty, we embark on our adventure where God's guiding hand navigates us through life's twists and turns. You want to walk by faith? Act out the truth, act out reality, and speak the truth. Hello, Gita. Good to see you. Good afternoon to you. So let's consider the story of Joseph in Genesis. He remained unwavering in the truth despite enduring numerous trials. His commitment to honesty eventually led to his elevation and the fulfillment of God's promise. Joseph's story serves as a testament to the principle that embracing truth can yield unforeseen blessings and divine favor. You know, if you look at Joseph's life in certain parts of it, you might say, well, Joseph, what did following God and telling the truth get you? Well, it got him in jail forever. I mean, he was going to be in that jail forever, but luckily somebody remembered him to Pharaoh, even though it was too late. And Joseph was elevated to second in command over the whole country of Egypt. So in a world where that often prioritizes self-preservation and personal gain, Christians are called to be torchbearers of the truth, embodying Christ's character in every facet of life. By consistently relying on and speaking the truth, we showcase our unshakable faith in God's plan, even when the path ahead appears uncertain. As Proverbs 3, 5 through 6 urges, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not on thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let us embark on this faith-filled journey, anchored in the truth that our Heavenly Father's design surpasses our imagination, and His promises remain steadfast for those who walk in His truth. Folks, it is that important. Truth is that important. The way you walk by faith is you familiarize yourself with the Bible. God's word is truth. John 17:17. Sanctify them through thy word, through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Or sanctify them through thy, oh well, I'm just going to go read it. I want to make sure I didn't get it backwards. John 17:17. Isn't that terrible? Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. All scriptures given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine and correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, fully equipped unto all good works. Folks, you cannot walk by faith. The Spirit cannot produce the fruit of faith unless you have a good handle on the truth, and unless you are brave enough to speak the truth and act accordingly to the truth, despite the outcome, whether good or bad in the moment. The ultimate profession of your faith in God is to speak the truth at all times and to act accordingly to the truth at all times, because this is how you show your faith in God. It's an understanding that regardless of the outcome in the moment, it is the absolute best possible outcome, and it is in alignment with God's will. And we have to step back and take a long view of righteousness and reward. Folks, that's all I've got for you today. I really appreciate all of you and the good comments. I pray that you would subscribe on my Substack. It is totally free right now. It will be monetized at a later date, but if you subscribe for free, you will always have access to articles that I put out. If you want to support me monetarily, there's a QR code in the top left. You can buy me a coffee, www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. And that one-time donation gets you on our mailing list. I will be producing a video today for our monetary supporters. That'll drop later on this evening. And once you're on the mailing list for Patreon, www.patreon.com/Christianity Now or www.buymeacoffee.com/Christianity Now. Once you're on the mailing list, you will get notifications of all the stuff that we do for our supporters. Gita says, well, listen again, my notifications are off. Oh man. I hope that's not something Facebook's done. So I try to go live at close to the same time every day. I don't always get to it. So anyway, that's just one of those things. So folks, thank you so much. I appreciate everybody. I wish we could have discussed this more, could apply the talents. I'm thinking maybe what you were talking about is in the parable of the talents, one guy received five, one guy received, what was it, two, one guy received one. And when the master came back, the guy that received five doubled it, the guy that received one doubled it. I mean, two doubled it, and the guy that received one didn't. And anyway, so the idea there is, you have to, what you're in charge of, what the Lord has blessed you with, you've got to work and you've got to grow and you've got to cultivate. Well, how do you do that? Well, that's action you take based on what you believe. Do you believe that Jesus is going to return and you're going to stand before Him and before God on the day of judgment, I should say? I know Jesus is God. That's why I'm saying. But anyway, do you believe that that's going to happen? You do? Well, then you need to take action. What God has blessed you with, you need to cultivate and grow. That's how I would pull the talents into that. But anyway, folks, that's all I've got. God bless every one of you. And thank you so much. This has been Tony Brewer with Cogitations. We hope you subscribe. I hope you subscribe to my Substack and go check out what LaBeth is doing at www.beamindfulsoul.com. Podbean, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, TuneIn Radio, and incidentally, Substack. now has my podcast. And be sure and subscribe. It really helps us out. Be sure and subscribe. It really helps us out. And word of mouth is the absolute best thing you can do for us. Share the content. Invite your friends to partake in it. And that's all I've got. God bless you. And we will catch you on the flip side.